The powerful fog lamps outlined Phryne's small, determined figure, the slim body clad in trousers and a jumper, her stance easy and alert, and the cameo-cut shape of her straight profile and cap of black hair. Li Pen commented in Cantonese, "She would make a warrior. She has the heart of a lion." Lin Chung agreed.
"Oh, miss, be careful," wailed Dot.
The road was rough. 3-foot-high tea tree scrub lined it, full of thorns and snakes. Phryne called into the mist, "Here!" And for a moment there was complete silence. Chill as the heart of darkness, thought Lin Chung, his hands ready on the wheel. Cold as the silence at the heart of unbeing. Scarves of fog lay tangled in the low-growing scrub. Phryne strained her eyes. She could see only about 10 paces into the virgin forest and could smell only wetness and chill earth and the faint scent of water. Then she heard a crashing scramble straight ahead as someone tried to run through the tea tree. This, of course, could not be done. Only a bulldozer could run through there, she reflected, holding the gun out steady in both hands. "Here!" she yelled again, and was answered by a sobbing shriek.
"Help!"
Out of the fog came a woman, completely out of her mind with pain or fear, stumbling and falling as the roots caught her feet, getting up and clawing herself forward again. She staggered, fell and got up again, orienting herself by the car's headlights, drawn by the bright light like a moth. Phryne swung her aim away as the girl fell panting at her feet. She was dressed in black and white, and a frilly cap was still pinned, jaunty and incongruous, on her torn hair. It was an unusual situation in which to find a parlourmaid. Phryne listened hard, trying to block out the maid's whimpering, trying to hear beyond the sound for any following feet. The attacker must still be out there. Phryne and the maid were perfect targets in the Hispano-Suiza's glare. But nothing moved, no gun fired. She could discern no other person out in the chill darkness. "Come along," she said, pocketing the gun and hauling the girl to her feet. "Get in the car. You're safe now. Lin, get us out of here," she added, shoving the maid into the back seat and Dot's concerned arms. The parlourmaid's sobbing increased once she knew she was safe. Li Pen removed himself to the far side of the seat as she caught sight of his face and whispered,
"A chink!"
"You're safe," said Dot briskly. "It's all right. What's your name? Where did you come from? Where can we take you?"
"Lena," whispered the girl. "I'm Lena, and I'm from Cave House."
Dot soothed. "Good, that's where we're going." Lin Chung, navigating carefully through endless tea trees, said, "It can't be far, then."
"Oh, God, another chink!"
exclaimed Lena as she heard his voice. "Lena, would you like to walk home?" asked Phryne, her voice as chill as the fog. Dot said,
"Oh, miss,"
and the parlourmaid gave a small scream.
"No, miss, please, miss, I'm sorry."
"It's Miss Phryne Fisher," said Dot, giving the girl a small shake. "We're going to Cave House for a house party. Mr. Reynolds invited us. I'm Miss Williams, and that is Mr. Lin and Mr. Lee. Pull yourself together, girl. You've been rescued, and we're taking you home. You were lucky that we came along. No call to be insulting your master's guests now, have you? Are you hurt? We heard a shot."
"No, no. He missed me. I'm just a bit scratched by all them thorns. I was so scared. I'm sorry, Miss Fisher. Mr. Lin, I'm sorry."
She started to cry. Phryne was unsympathetic. Lin Chung said softly,
"You see, Phryne, I told you this would be difficult, importing an exotic like me into your world. She's just reacting as all the rest will."
"She's shocked, and she's been reading too much Sax Roma," snapped Phryne. "At last, they look like the gateposts."
"Yes, miss, it says Cave House on the fence," Dot said, supporting the sobbing girl on her shoulder and feeling tears trickle down her neck.
Phryne got out to open the gate, and the car rolled onto a gravel drive. She snibbed the wooden stockyard shutter after the car had passed through and listened again. No sound in the dank air, yet she shivered.